Feral Audio.
It's time for another episode of Drew Droege's Minor Revelations. Hi, I'm so sorry I've taken a couple weeks off. I timed it terribly because I was going out of town and I thought I backlogged enough episodes going in and then we ran out of episodes. And then so it's been a couple weeks. So thank you for your loyalty and I apologize for the blip. And I'm going to try to do these as often as I can. Hopefully they'll come out every Friday. But anyway, it's great to be back. I have a really fun episode ahead. And I just took a really wonderful, much needed, mostly vacation. I went to New York and then I went to Berlin. So I'm just going to kind of recap that and kind of maybe see what I've possibly learned from all that. I have nothing written down and I'm just babbling. Here we go. So New York, I try to go once a year to just go and see theater. I mentioned it every week, what a nerd I am for it. But it's just really inspiring to get to see that, you know, at that level. It's always great to go in, you know, in June or May or whenever I can go, but around Tony season and just see all the hot new plays. If you're in New York, you absolutely must see A Doll's House Part 2 by Lucas Nath. I think that's how you say his last name, starring the incomparable Laurie Metcalf. And also Condola Rashad and Chris Cooper and Jane Howdy Shell, who I love. It's just the most incredible performances. It's just four people at the top of their game. But the writing of this play, it's revolutionary. It's next level. It's the future. It's like how this is like, oh, this is theater in 2017. It's also just a beautiful, hilarious. Don't be thrown off by the title and think like, I don't know A Doll's House. I don't know Ibsen. I don't want to see a 19th century, you know, Scandinavian period piece. It's so modern. It's so of this moment. It's really about what's happening now. And as a single person, It spoke to me a lot, but there are four different arguments for, you know, against in the middle of marriage and responsibility within all of that. So it's really fantastic. Also, Oslo is a fantastic play, which is, if I explained it to you, it sounds like the most boring subject matter ever for a play. And I'm so glad I just went and saw it. It's at Lincoln Center. And I think running for a while, it just won the Tony for best play. It's 3 hours and it flies by and it's fascinating. And it's also really funny and really engaging. I was on the edge of my seat. Loved that. Also, in a totally different realm, but I want to give a shout out to a really fantastic production. The Red Bull Theater is doing The Government Inspector, starring the brilliant Michael Urie. It's transferring over to New World Stages in July, and it runs, I think, through August. So don't be scared by another 19th century Russian, this time farce. It is so funny. My face hurt. It's just so stupid, but so well done. And it's just every character actor that you've loved in other things, just getting to be, you know, it's just Mary Testa and Arnie Burton and just this cast of just Steven DeRosa and all these amazing people doing just incredible work. So go and see that if you're looking for something that's maybe off the beaten path. It's called The Government Inspector, and it's moving from the Red Bull Theater. It was at the Duke, and then it's moving to New World Stages. I'm doing this without any notes. Oh my God, I'm on so much cocaine. I don't know where I live, how I live. Berlin, I'd never been. It's so incredibly beautiful. I ate and drank my face off. I went to really weird, crazy clubs. I loved this place called Chantal's House of Shame that I went to on a Thursday night, where Chantal got up at 2:30 in the morning and screamed at us as she was mad and confused and very drunk, and apparently does that every Thursday night. So if you're in Berlin at 2:30 in the morning, swing by Chantal's. She'll yell at you, but you deserve it. I just lots of wonderful experiences. I went to my first nude beach and got almost naked, got very naked for this Presbyterian boy from North Carolina. But I was just blown away by how relaxed everything was there. The vibe was just you do you. It was very art forward, very individual thinking, like just whatever, whatever works for you, do that, live that. And I noticed it a lot, and this is going to sound super freaky deaky, but whatever, welcome to my show. The dogs, there were so many dogs in that city that ran around without leashes and were just chill. They just kind of just walked around and existed. They saw other dogs, they kind of ran up, greeted each other, and they moved on. Dogs in LA, New York, major cities, anywhere, America, we're so cranked up to 12,000 degrees at all times. Dogs are just like, even if they're insanely excited, they meet each other, they freak out, they pant, they bark, they snap, they fuck, they do whatever they do immediately. And it's just so, it's so much. And I just noticed the dogs in Berlin were just like, hey, what's going on? And it was just like a reminder to just kind of be that dog. Like, and I was mentioning it all week to my friend Jeff, who I went on the trip with. And I was like, look at the dogs. They're just so chill. They're so cool. And I was telling other people, like, the dogs in Berlin are just really great. Well, then at the end of our trip, there was one night. It was very late. We saw this one dog approach another dog so grimly and stealthily, and approach this dog with pure rage in its heart. And it went after and it was the most violent dog fight I've ever seen in my life on the street right in front of us. We were jumping and screaming because it was just like we were in the middle but of these two dogs trying to murder each other. And then, of course, immediately I got made fun of for saying all the dogs in Berlin are so chill, except for those two dogs. They just were completely against the vibe of the city. And I don't know. I guess the vibe is like, or the takeaway rather is like, you know, take a breath, relax, just do you. You're doing all right. You're fine. But when in the face of danger, get out of the way. Like, not everything's just hunky-dory, cool, hippie all the time. Sometimes there will be something big, bad, horrible coming after you. And run, get out of the way, or be aware. That's always kind of there, even in the most beautiful, blissful, incredible places. How about that? Let's have a show. Well, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
I'm sitting with my lovely friends, Deanna Chang and Stephen Guarino. Hi, friends.
Hi. We know each other as well.
I am so glad you do. I figured you might, yes. And I'm really glad to like walk in today, and you guys were like early and waiting on me. You're the best. Yeah. You guys are pros. How do you guys know each other?
Well, I've done your podcast.
Oh, yes, which is so fun. What is the name of your podcast again?
Well, you haven't.
To be fair. Yeah, that's right. All right. To be fair.
I mean, with love.
Right, yes.
But I would love that, though.
We were both on a podcast together.
We were both on Matt McConkie's podcast. Correct.
Oh, okay, great. Wonderful. Yes. And he's done several. What was the one that he...
It was the dating show for The Gentleman.
The podcast after
Finding Prince Charming. I did that show as well, and it's just a delight. Matt McConkie is... Ugh. National treasure.
Sure.
The greatest. And then what is your podcast, Deanna?
Mine is, it was OMFG when you did it.
OMFG when I did it, yes.
And now we've rebranded.
I saw that you rebranded. Yeah.
We are now How to Be Less Old.
Oh, I love that. I love it. And you still have someone from our... generation and then a millennial? Is that what it is?
No, you know what? We kind of lost that. We just have, we do older people who we want to kind of find out what their thoughts are on the new things
coming up.
And then we interview tons of people under 25. That's like our main group.
Great.
You know.
I love the idea though, because there is that fear. I mean, I have the fear of like, I mean, I've been like a little like old crusty Andy Rooney since I was a child. So I'm like, I hate everything. But like the older I get, the more I'm like, oh God, I don't want to be that person that's just ignorant, willfully ignorant of what's going on in the world. And I want to know what the kids are listening to. I want to know what they want. You know.
It's fun. It's fun to know instead of not know. I think that's kind of where
we just want to know. To have an opinion about it that's informed, as opposed to just like, oh, everything's garbage. Nothing's as good as it was in my day.
Yeah, like have a go at Snapchat. Just have a go at it. See what happens.
Exactly.
Like, this will officially be the second podcast I've ever done after that.
Really?
And this will be the second one I ever heard.
Did you never do Glitter in the Garbage?
The... I did do Glitter in the Garbage. Okay, but okay. So you've created a hole in my story about Forgotten.
But
that was officially 7 or 8 years ago. But
oh, wait, well, yeah, that was
the greater
a while
point
ago.
Is I've done very few, and I would like you to know I pulled off in the Ralph's parking lot and listened to last week's episode of this.
Oh,
so
my God.
I could prepare
well, thank
myself.
You. Thank
because
you
that's
for
the kind
doing
of person
that.
I am. I do my homework.
I really appreciate that. I really appreciate yeah. you doing that because that's, yeah, that it. It's a lot to commit to doing a podcast like for and then to like listen to it ahead of time, you know, especially when like I, you know, ask, you know, sometimes I ask you guys last minute, and it's so sweet of you to do that. So thanks. Well, I talked in my intro about it, but we were talking earlier, so I thought we could save a little bit of it. I did just get back from Berlin, where you've been, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a wonderful time. I didn't do any of the, now I just want you to please fill me in on the things that I missed because I did not do the like crazy, the sex club things. I did go to Kit Kat
right.
Club. We didn't talk about this. Did you go to that?
I didn't go to Kit Kat Club, no.
Okay, so you checked
just like in LA and Berlin, I end up on the west side and never the east side and always wonder what's going on in the east side and never exactly invited over there.
So you got a place on the west side when you were in Berlin?
I was in the west side. I sort of stayed in the leather scene and the sex club scene and the sex, I was in a sex hotel, a sex themed hotel. Where
really?
The bed was also a bathtub. You had the bed was in the bathtub so you could
what?
Urinate directly. And then there was a, you know, oh. everything
I,
had
I don't understand how that even works.
Just sex furniture. Just everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. Just one second. So the bed, you can urinate. Can you explain it one more time?
Right. Yeah. You could urinate. It's, you could put the mattresses in the bed, but the bed is also a vessel.
Okay.
So if you remove the mattress, you could lay in that and then be urinated on, which we didn't. I was there with my friend Jimmy Ray. So
okay,
opportunity
sure,
didn't
sure,
come
sure,
up.
Sure.
Right.
So you lay in a
right.
basin and then you could be urinated on. Then we put the mattress back
right.
on and
it's
have
like a
great
empty
time.
Water. It's like a water bed without the mattress and
service.
A drain. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It makes me, have you, that Gaspar Noé, however you say his last name, N-O-E, he's that movie where the guy's a drug addict and he dies and then the rest of them, there's like this sex hotel throughout the movie. What is the oh my god, I can't think of that. Enter the Void. That's the name of it. Enter the Void. Okay, I haven't seen it. Okay. So it's a sex themed hotel. Is that how does that work?
I mean that one was just kind of fun, cheeky. Like it's not necessarily for that, but it's just a sort of S&M themed. It was called the Art Hotel.
Okay.
And it's in the sort of, you know, if their version of Christopher Street, you know, in the '70s is what the West Side was.
Yeah, I didn't go. I did hear about the like because it's gay all over there. So like
right.
I mean, you know, in Kreuzberg there was so much stuff, and we stayed in Neukölln, which is like just south of Kreuzberg. So there was so much stuff, but like we didn't go to the old, the west side, which is the more, I guess the older
yeah,
side
it's
of
like
Berlin.
Never, yeah, it was never sort of rehabilitated. It has this 1920s sort of Charles Isherwood sort of feel thing.
Oh, I love it.
It was beautiful. And I mean, I don't suggest that there's not a lot to do over there unless you're a sex tourist. And I,
right.
I can't,
are you?
I absolutely cannot deny that I'm not a... I want to see the craziest sexual thing that can occur in a city.
I'm a voyeur. Like I love to see things, and I don't really like to participate. I was also with my best friend from college, seeing another best friend from college who lives there, and so she's like a professor at Humboldt University, and so we did everything. We did go to a lot of the like late night, you know, kind of dirty gay bars, but we didn't do anything super crazy. But we did go to Kit Kat Club, which is like you can go in and check in as many clothes as you're comfortable checking at the door, and you get like a bag and then a number. But they're really big on cell phones at the checked in at the door, which is kind of great.
So people don't take pictures.
So people don't take pictures.
And, yeah.
And but it also keeps you off your phone and keeps you, you know, present and there. But then you have plenty of drugs to make you not present at all. So it's that whole thing. But we were there, and then there were
how many clothes did you take off?
Oh, only my windbreaker. I mean, I kept on my t-shirt and jeans. And there were people that were like walking around naked. It's weird because like people walk around naked there, and it doesn't feel as cruisy as other places where everyone has their clothes on because it's just very free. It's like you can just do whatever you want to do. But then I did hear about laboratory,
right?
Which it's just crazy because don't they draw a number on your arm when you go? I heard something about that where
laboratory was just connected to Berkheim. We tried to get in at one point because we wanted to skip the line at Berkheim, and I didn't get in because I wasn't wearing anything Lycra. That was Lycra Wednesday. Lycra Wednesday from 7 to 11. And Jimmy happened to have on biker shorts underwear, so they said he could take off all his clothes and go in that. But I was just head to toe cotton.
Oh, yeah. So. There you go. So you had to just keep it on? Or you?
I just didn't get in. So
you
I didn't
get
in the laboratory.
Okay, because that's the other thing, too, that we were talking about. Bergheim is like, if you wait in line for like 3 hours, and then I was told everything I wear is way too bright. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, well, I have a show about that, so I like to wear my bright colors.
It's your celebrity narrative. Right?
Exactly. The celebrity narrative. That's so gross. I love it. So I was like, I just don't own all black, and I don't know. So I don't know if I'm going to even get in. And then when you get in, it's like, you could be in there for days. And there's just like, I just don't know that I could do that. I'm not that adventurous. I wish I could be.
I'm here to say you would have been bored out of your mind.
Yeah.
No one dancing together. They only dance facing the DJ. I mean,
wow.
It's just.
Well, and it got to the point where we were so inundated with people telling us we had to go to Bergheim that we were like, we're going to be more rebellious not going. We're going to be like, no, we're not going to go to Bergheim. What are we, tourists? But we did go to museums and we did go to a bunch of other things. But I did hear of this thing where they would write, you would get like a tattoo on your arm. And I'm just like, that's kind of problematic, Germany. Like,
right, a little
come
Holocaust
on, you guys. Thing, yeah. Like, take off all your clothes, wait in line, and get a number drawn on you.
Sounds very familiar.
How about no?
Yeah.
How about look over there, a patisserie?
At least on the west side, I think it's a fallacy that it's dirty over there. They have like several. They have such an organized way of categorizing their sex and subculture.
Wow!
If some of the bars had like a positive or a negative sign depending on the night, if it was going to be HIV positive crowd,
oh,
like a neon sign, it would go positive or negative.
Oh, wow! Yeah.
And then I was telling you about before. There was an aqua theme bar, like Hydro, I think was the name of it.
And then they would tell us about that.
Yeah, you would enter and you would take all your clothes off and go through a car wash. It included your own personal enema. And so you would literally just be cleaned in every orifice, and then you went through these Star Trek type doors and received a towel at the other end.
This is a life, guys.
I mean, this is totally a life. And there are people that I didn't really understand sex tourism and all this. And they're like, yeah, there are people that's what they go, and they just want to go and see and experience and whatever level all these places. And it's really crazy to me.
So just out of curiosity, yeah. Stephen, what was the... You said you want to see like the craziest sex thing possible when you're sex tourisming.
Well, I wouldn't say I got to say it, but I see it. But I would say the most graphic thing was one of the clubs on the west side had a sign saying "Turds on Tuesday," closed on Wednesday for cleaning.
Oh, okay.
It was a scat evening.
Yeah, got it. Yeah. I had to wrap my mind, but I got there. And yeah. What a picture.
Yeah, what a picture. What. What an evening.
What a Tuesday evening. You know, like you don't many Tuesdays come and go without.
Yeah, exactly.
Any adventure.
Without public turds. But, you know. Also, I just like, I'm fascinated by the people, like outside of all the sexual stuff. Like, what is, like, who does that attract, you right. know? Because that to me is also fascinating.
It's I didn't really get like, a hold on the modern general German. I didn't really understand what anyone was doing. Everything seemed closed. Did you mm-hmm. notice that? It was like stores never open. There was never seemed like anybody had a job.
No one really has a job yeah. there. It's very artist centric. It's like artists, whatever, yeah. they're open whatever hours they want to be open. Everybody just does whatever they want right. to do.
Places are packed at 7 a.m.
Sure.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. But it also, I was very... chill, and it was really nice to kind of be in a place that like everything was like live and let live, and it also felt like that was the thing that like everyone talks about all the sex that's there, but it's not nothing's really forced on you. It's just sort of like, hey, if you want to do that, go over there, do that. If not, there's a bar or there's some people to talk to or there's, you know, cigarettes everywhere. And the food was insanely good, which I was not expecting.
Delicious.
So yeah, I had a great time. I had a great time while I was there. Yeah, but it's great to be back and in Hollywood and the industry and just like, it's so great. No, it is really kind of jarring to come back and everyone's like, what are you working on? What are you doing? And I'm like, oh, wow, that's what's happening.
Still here. Yep.
Still here.
Waiting for you.
Yeah, exactly. how are your summers going? So far, it's.
I was just saying, we were saying in the lobby, I hate summer. I mm-hmm. sunlight and I don't get along. Yeah. I have a terrible time during the summer. What about you?
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
You know, I don't fuck with the sun.
Yeah.
So I'm not interested in getting into like a bikini and running around. So that, you know.
Running around.
But you know
There's
what I mean?
There's Deanna like, running around in her bikini again.
But that seems like a fun thing to do in the summer. People
right.
look forward to that.
Sure. No, that's not me either. I don't enjoy that sort of, I mean, I do it. I enjoy the sun, but I don't enjoy the heat so much. And yeah. The heat can be really oppressive and it gets very sticky. And then it's just like, and also it didn't used to be humid here. We're in a desert, but it's gotten humid in the last couple of years.
Hmm.
Thanks, Trump. But it's like, you know, it's just gotten really like, you know, it's like sticky. And that's the thing that being from the South, that's the part of the summer that I really
I was
hate.
The only person in the entire city that didn't go to the women's march and sat in my living room and
I didn't
say,
go either.
God damn it, Drew.
I know. I had rehearsal. I was playing a woman in the play.
I was literally sitting in my room saying, well, I should have gone to that thing. It was the biggest meeting of people in minds in the entire world.
I was very bummed that I couldn't go. But,
and I felt so guilty that I went to the D.C., Resist March.
Oh, you
last
did?
Week. Yes. Me
How
and,
was that?
Me and 17 others
oh
showed
my God.
Up in 110 degree weather. It was an absolute bust.
It was a bust.
It was a bust.
Oh, no.
And I was so proud that I, for the first time in my life, I did something like, you know, genuinely
right.
activist.
Right, exactly. And instead of pride.
Nobody
you know,
showed.
No. Oh, wow.
Ugh.
Wow. That's the thing. We've got, like, we're in it for the long haul. We got some big villains that we got to fucking take down, and a lot, and it's insidious, and there's a lot of different things going on, and it's hard to stay focused.
You need organization too.
You do.
You need a good, like, I've been really, and you know, it's something I do feel that we don't have to unpack here, but
oh, yeah. No, it's
I do
great.
Need
I love
to
it.
Unpack somewhere at some point.
Absolutely.
The Black Lives Matter movement, like, mm-hmm. I don't exactly know how to participate.
Right.
It feels like, and I don't even know what I'm saying by that, but I feel like I'm ready to be
to accept Black people and their
no,
lives.
I'm ready to like be activated.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure I need to look inward. But
yeah.
I also am looking around like where should I go? What should I do?
Just Google Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
How to.
Yeah, how to.
Dummies.
But I also think you
for...
get involved by just getting involved. And it's
okay.
like, you know, I think it's like joining. I think it's like in any possible way. And also just not only like. Even and I think it's great to just admit I don't know anything about this, but I believe Black Lives Matter. I want to fight for women or for science or for whatever
right.
cause this is about. I support it, and I'm just here. My just being there is so huge, and I think and being open and learning and just being like, okay, I will see how, you know, like. You know, and even doing this show, I've learned from people that like, you know, just from different just struggles and walks of life that I've never considered that it's like, wow, it's really interesting that it's just like, you know, for that example, it's like, oh, so many people will say like, you know, so many people of color will say to be a person of color in this country is terrifying at all times.
Right.
You know, and so many white people come on the show and I even, you know, had a guest one time that was like, I've never been in a fight or I've never felt this fear. Until this one time, and I'm like, wow, it's just such a, that is the, that's privilege that we
right.
don't understand. So there's part of it, like, you know, that's that kind of thing. But I think it's just like, it's like we're at a place now where it's like, yeah, we all kind of have to, it's kind of part of the human responsibility to be in that side, you know, it's, we've been so complacent. We've been so like, yeah, whatever, it's fine, you know, and like everything will work out.
It'll shake out.
Mm-hmm. I think I recently did a thing. This is not name dropping, but she said a really great thing. I did a thing with Jane Lynch recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her, are you an activist? What does that mean to you? And she said a beautiful thing about, she goes, I just kind of am who I am out loud all the time. And that's sort of my protest. And I thought that was really
that's lovely really
and interesting.
That's
and
beautiful.
You might underestimate what
mm-hmm.
you've already done just by being you.
Exactly.
Well, I don't. Yeah, she can say that. I got to like, put some work in. You know.
Yeah, but just that interest. And I mean, I think just that simple presence of the like being like, this is who I am out loud all the time is a protest. Because I think... You know, I know Stephen and I both grew up in the South, and you grew up in Long Island, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But in the South, it's very much about making everyone else happy and saying what the room wants to hear, and not ruffling feathers and kind of. And we learn very much, you know. I think you know, as Southerners, but also like young gay kids, like don't be too much. Don't be, you know. You're different from the rest, so don't be that. You know, and you learn that on such a subtle way. I mean, the overt stuff, obviously,
right.
That's, the overt
the
stuff
subtle
people,
things are more insidious.
They are. They are. And so I still have it in me. Like I still have that thing where like I'm a people pleaser. And you had an actor to all that. I want people to like me and I want the room to agree with me, you know, and so you know, a lot of it is being willing to have the opposite opinion, you know, and to be in a room and say, you know what, that's actually not. Somebody posted the other day on Facebook, he was talking about, like, he was at going to the movies or something, and he was on an elevator with these guys. It was these two straight guys, and one of them says to the other one's like, don't be such a faggot, and kind of threw it away, and how he just sat through the whole movie with these guys in the same room, just like how much it bothered him. Mm-hmm. And then he just said afterwards, he just went up to these guys and he's like, I'm going to keep my calm. Mm-hmm. And I just want to talk to them. And this guy is Latin. And I guess one or the other guys were Latin as well. So he kind of started with that, you know, as like a connector,
a way in.
And he was just like, you know, we're all, you know, because he was like, are you Latino? And they were like, yes. And of course, these guys are just kind of starting to, you know, like, what's going to happen? You know, and he was just like, are you gay? And they were like, no, we're both straight. And he was like, you know, when you use the word faggot, it's sort of like the N-word to me, and it really, really hurts, and why do you use that? And the guy was like, I didn't mean it like that. And he was like, I know you didn't mean it like that. He was like, but just so you know, like, I hear that, and I sat through the movie, like, feeling this way, and I just, mm-hmm. please don't do that, because it makes people feel bad. And he said that the guy, like, reached out his hand and, like, was like, I'm so really sweet. Sorry. And he was like, thank you. And so he shared it just to be like, I don't want this to be like, I'm such a good person. But it was a lovely way of being like, just start a dialogue.
Absolutely. It's
and let people
beautiful.
Know, like, hey, that's not okay. Because, like, the guys are like, I meant no harm by that. And it's like, yeah, just, you know, change your language, you know, or be responsible for your language, I guess, is also where it is as well.
Yeah, you know? And it's like the exact opposite of how everyone reacts right now on social media with anything and everything. It's just like someone, you know, does this and there's a billion people screaming at them and shutting them down and wanting them fired or whatever goes on. Instead of opening up a dialogue about the why and the feeling behind it.
Exactly.
Which is way more compelling. And these guys will not use that word again.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, I know
because
that.
Absolutely. I mean, I got chills over and a lot of people were saying, thank you for giving me the strength to do the same thing when I hear that. Because we're used to hearing that all the time and we're used to going, whatever, they didn't mean it like that. And I'm not going to start a fight, or I don't want to get beat up. I don't get punched in the face. I don't want to get called a faggot. So I'm just going to not get involved, but I'm still going to feel all of that, all those horrible things that I've felt, you know, every time I hear that word, you know, and it's one of those things that, we can't also, you don't want to jump down people's throats and word police people and politically, because it does push people the opposite way. If you immediately start with, I'm triggered and your language is problematic and you can't say that, you know, and now, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Right. It's like people don't respond to that.
Never will.
That's just never will. Like immediately it's like, well, you're on that side and I'll be on this side, you know, versus saying, you know, and I mean, I've had to learn I'm such a grammar nerd that like the he, she thing when I, you know, and they can be singular now. And I'm like, that's just incorrect because I learned grammar. And, you know, it's like, no, they can be singular now and all that kind of stuff that we are learning. You know, we're just fucking idiots trying to stumble through.
Just to cheapen the mood, I've noticed are sort of like in bed with certain
a piss
guys.
Bed or no, I'm kidding.
If it's, don't worry, I have more to offer than just sex. But
no, I love it.
In bed, sometimes I think there was a period where, you know, if you're a little bit of a dom sub relationship, and you could sort of use the word faggot like sexually to get a you know, some guys really like it.
Get a rise up.
Yeah, and now there is a bit of like, may I call you faggot in this session? Okay, nope, that's
oh
not.
Oh my God.
Or a big one is, you know, you might, we can say anything on this program, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, you know, you might accidentally call a guy's ass pussy when you're really trying to dominate them.
Sure.
And then again, you'd have to be like, I'm not comfortable with that word. You know, you should just call it hole. It's supposed to get hole, and it's rude to people who have pussies.
Right. Yeah.
That's, it does seem like it's putting a damper on things right there.
Yeah, immediately. It's like, also it's like, I know that's the weirdest thing in sex is having to negotiate terms beforehand.
Right.
It does kind of start to be like, oh, this is hard to stay hard. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to talk about all these things. And now it's like, okay, now we can begin. Okay, now that we have our, you know, we've made our spreadsheets and we've done our, you know, demonstration. Now we can begin. Well, I want to hear stories or thoughts or opinions from either of you. Who wants to go first?
I can go first.
I love it.
Okay. So I was thinking about, and you're involved in this.
Oh, good.
I've had the kind of month that was just rough in terms of like milestones. It was my 10 years that this month that my mom's been gone.
Oh, wow.
And then we had Father's Day, my dad, first Father's Day without my dad because he died in September.
Yes.
And then my mom's birthday was a couple days ago. So it was just a like a hit.
It's a lot.
You know?
It's a lot.
And I had made for my sisters a video of, like, I had last summer gone through all our VHSs and like it's, well, like starting, and kind of made them digital, and I put together something for my mom, like just, and I hadn't really seen her, you know, and it was just so wonderful to just see her and be with her, and like, I actually felt so much closer, because when somebody dies, and I know you lost your dad, you know, do you have your parents?
They're still kicking down in Orlando.
Great. Must be nice. So
anyway,
it's gonna be weird the rest of the day with
okay, you. Guess you can just sit there with parents. but, you know, after someone's been gone for a while, it gets abstract,
yes,
their
very
essence
much so.
And all of that. So just to be with her and see her and laugh with her. But I saw there was footage from our trip, which was like a big trip. We would always go camping, but this was like my parents got us a cruise, Carnival cruise. We went to Cozumel in Jamaica.
Oh, yes.
And
I immediately think of Kathy Lee Gifford every time I hear Carnival cruise.
Yeah, big time.
Yes. So you went to Cozumel and where?
Cozumel, Jamaica, and Cancun.
Okay.
I think.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But in this video, the footage, which I will have to show you guys after I have the link, I mean, it is these children. I was 18. I'm 5 years older than my youngest sister. So it's like, whatever that is, do the math. Like,
sure.
I was 18 and then go down from there. And I was so sick. I was miserable.
Like seasick or just?
No, it was before we even got on. We were just at the airport. My dad's trying to get a nice shot of everybody and try to be like, he's like, all right, girls, how we doing? And we're slumped against a wall. This all is going to make sense. But my friend was dying at the time. And I didn't want to go on the cruise at all on any level in any way. And then I got super sick because before a big thing, I get usually some shit goes down like physically. So I look terrible. And then my sister said, because I'm older and like I was really upset and mad looking, that they were mad too, just because, you know, they figured that's what we're all doing. So it reminded me of a story of on that cruise where it's going to be, it's a hard one to actually, you're going to have to just stick with me on the visuals, but I wasn't eating anything because everything made me nauseous.
Oh.
I literally, you would see me, my sisters were in the pool and running around. I had blankets around me like a terrorist.
You ever think about putting on bikinis and running around? You really don't.
I was like towels, blankets, shivering on the deck like an animal. Like it was just not what you want to see, not what you want to be a part of.
Right.
So I wasn't eating because everything made me nauseous. I was dehydrated. I was so ill. And this, we were in, five of us, in a sardine box, literally. Like it was just the tiniest room.
It was one room for the whole family.
One room for all of us. The beds came off the wall. You know, there were a couple, one cot, two beds on the side, and then two that flipped down.
Okay.
But if we all reached out our hands, we could hold them in the middle of the night. Like, we could all just do a huddle. Like, that's how truly tiny it was. So, in the middle of the night, I had to go to the bathroom. I get up. I go to the bathroom. Now, this is where it gets real weird. When I left the bathroom, I turned off the light. And when I turned off the light, I shut my eyes.
Okay.
Now, didn't realize that. Okay, but turned off the light.
You're maybe still partly asleep.
I'm not right.
Out of it.
I'm not correct.
Yes.
I'm incorrect.
Right.
Shut the light. And I walk, try to make my way to the bed, and like my foot latches onto a ladder.
Oh no!
Because there were two ladders that went up. It latches onto a ladder. It topples on top of me. My other foot gets the other ladder. So two ladders are on top of me. I'm screaming on the ground. I'm like, nobody is like saying anything, which I'm so confused about. And I go, turn on the light, turn on the light. And then all of a sudden they all say, open your eyes. And I like open my eyes and they're all peering at me. Lights are fully on.
Oh.
And because someone flipped a light on.
Sure.
And I'm just in a tumble on the ground.
Oh, my God.
So that leads me to where you come in.
Great.
Okay. So that's just going to give you an idea of where what happens when like shit in my life goes awry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So we are both on the show Heathers.
Heathers.
So that's exciting. That's happening.
Very exciting.
Great.
Yeah. We start this week.
Awesome.
Yeah.
If you look at my
face...
Well,
I have parents. So. It's fine. I'm sure I'll guest star, but go ahead.
Yeah, we'd love to have you. Yeah, please come to it. Come to it.
No, you'd be great in anything.
I know. He is great in everything.
Yeah. Thank you. Go on.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you guys are looking at my face right now, does anything seem off?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay. So, Drew, in February...
Uh-huh.
I have spent from mid-February till last week dealing with the situation on my face in preparation for Heathers.
You're kidding.
I am not kidding.
What on your face?
I had a little zit that turned into a massive cyst that ended up being skin cancer.
Oh.
Okay?
Okay.
And something that's like, that's classified as skin cancer, and if you don't deal with
like
it, it gets really bad.
Basal cell or squamous?
It's not even there. It's something else, but doesn't matter.
Sure.
That's my drag name, Basil.
And so, Basil Cell Squamous.
Basil Cell. That starts off so beautifully and then ends in a complete nightmare.
Basil Cell Squamous.
Squamous. Uh-huh.
So, I do believe it has something to do with this past, this rough year I've had with my dad. I went to an acupuncturist and she said, this thing on your face is the result of the last 2 years you've had.
Wow.
That was her feeling, that it was the manifestation of what had been going on. And so I've spent, lasers, shots.
Yes.
Creams, antibiotic.
Wow.
Freezes, many, many freezes to get to where we are right now.
That is so crazy.
And I'm just going to show you guys what I'm talking about.
Okay.
It looks like a goddamn third eye.
Wow.
Where is it? Oh, wow.
It's like a crab apple. Just a...
This was on...
What?
I know.
Now, okay. So did you have any semblance of that when we...
Wow. No, because this happened in February. We shot the pilot in November.
In November, right. So you didn't have any beginnings of that in November.
February, I had a tiny little thing that looked like a zit, which I was trying to, my sister gave me, drying creams, and I thought I could cortisone it.
Sure,
I did
sure.
everything. Like, this spot on my face has been attacked with every last.
Wow, that's so nuts.
But I feel like it has some sort of correlation to a moment that, is about to happen, right? And I had to go through one last fight to get to this big moment.
Yeah.
You know, do you understand?
Sure, absolutely. Do you know, I had a thing on my nose as well. I've talked to it a couple times on here. Some people listening are like, Drew, stop talking. But it was skin cancer. So that's how I know basal cell squamous. Basal squamous. That's what it is. But both my parents had it on their nose. And so as a kid, I was like, I'll probably have that one day. And then I sure as hell did, a little over a year ago. And so I had to have it all lasered off. But it was pretty quick. I mean, they had to do the biopsy. And my dermatologist looked at it and she was like, that is cancer. And getting that news is, even though it's skin cancer and that's totally treatable and it's done, is hard when, you've lost a parent to cancer and you're just here we go. On the side of my nose. So you and I both have little facial things that we have to get taken off. But there is something about that, shedding of a rebirth. And I wonder if you were... Yeah, holding on. And I fully believe, like, that stress and things create, we create a lot of our own pain and, or just like stress and, you know, so it will just physically manifest itself in different crazy ways. And, but how great and wonderful you've gone through it and it's done. And
well, it
your
is.
Face is gorgeous for television.
But literally, like, up until last week, I mean, we're shooting in a couple days.
Yes.
And I have my last, like, laser situation
so
last week.
Crazy.
And I just, you know, have been hoping it works out. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
Because if they didn't do the way we did, which was freezing and lasers and whatnot, it was going to be a scar from one, like, the width of my nose. That
wow.
that was because of where it is. They
yeah.
would have they the sides would have curled up, and I just would have had like a giant scar on my face.
Oh my God, that's so crazy!
I know.
Also, we were supposed to start shooting in May, like originally, you know, and
yes.
that was the plan. And then it got pushed everything till end of June. So that's also just a blessing.
I know, I feel like I know we've talked about this moment of like being on the show, and it seems like, I don't know, it's such a gift, and it feels
completely.
Like it's been so long coming,
yeah.
in
yeah,
many
we've
ways.
Talked a lot about like how long we've been out here doing this and trying to do this, and how it's a long journey, and it feels like for a lot of people involved in this show, not across the board, but for a lot of people, we have a lot of kids on the show and it's their first job and they're super
hype.
Excited. And it's just like the most lovely group of people ever. So going into it. But then there are a bunch of us that are like veterans that have been on the sidelines that are going to get to do our thing for the first time. And we're all so excited. And it's also a group of friends and writers and all kinds of, it's just across the board. It's going to be lovely.
Yeah,
and there's
I'm excited.
Just something about it like, oh, this is going to be a really cool chapter in our lives. And also it's Heather. So we're so excited because it's that movie was one of my favorite movies growing up. So getting to do that is going to be great.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I just am happy that, I'm not going to like have a giant thing on my face for it.
Yeah. Or just in life.
Yeah. In life. It's yeah. interesting to walk around when you have, hadn't had a deformity. But I mean, and you guys saw it. I mean, it's something. It's something to look at. It's not
yeah,
nothing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's
Yeah.
And you walk around and you're like, hi. Yes, I do have something that looks like
yes,
a third eye in the
right.
middle of my nose.
Right,
and
of
I,
course.
How can I help you?
Right, right.
You know, is there a problem?
And you couldn't wear glasses. No.
Yeah, because that's right
point,
across the
I
bridge
could.
Of your nose.
Like, I got new glasses right before this went down, and they wouldn't fit on top. It would raise,
really?
So I couldn't. I had
wow.
to keep my Warby Parkers to the side until.
Wow.
Not so
that's
long
nuts.
Ago. Yeah. Anyway.
It's crazy. Well,
there you go.
Here we are.
That's my
yeah,
revelation.
There we go.
And
I think it's also like, it's great to win. I mean, just like the takeaway too, like when you're going through something, it's just like, go through it. Do what you need to do. Don't throw up your hands and be like, this is, just go through we are going to be going through the things for the rest of our lives. And it's going to be like, okay, go through the storm, go right through the middle, fight, and then it'll be fine.
Yeah.
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 I'd like to jump in and say something about a instance where your body expressed something going on.
Right.
Like in such a giant way, I had a bizarre thing happen to me that was sort of like a hives thing.
Uh-huh.
And it was sort of in my groin, thigh
area.
When was that? This was like 3 summers ago.
Okay.
And I went to the ER and I had, several 6-7 different doctors looking at me going through detergents, Lyme disease. Did you ingest anything? And I was blown up like a blowfish. Like
and you're...
My penis, my genitals, my thighs, everything was like the size of a soccer ball.
Jesus Christ.
Like encapsulating my genitals. It's a nightmare.
Jesus
I'm certainly not trying to,
no.
you know.
It's how you say it. It's worse.
It's yeah.
No, I'm not saying that. But it was probably only a, 36-hour period.
And did you just woke up one morning like that? Or?
It just started happening one afternoon and it just kept going until I went to the ER. And so I was actually taking a flight to San Francisco.
Oh my
and
God. That's my nightmare. Before a flight.
Right after the flight, I went straight to the ER. And
so you're sitting there and it's growing
it's
on
growing.
The flight.
Yes. And
oh
I went,
my God.
To be clear, I went to the ER before I got on the flight and after. because none of the six doctors in New York had an answer for me. Mystery diagnosis, blah, blah, blah. And I land in San Francisco and I go to the ER and it's a totally different kind of vibe. And I just remember this lovely
like great
woman.
Junk.
She was just, she really was. She was just looking at it and she was like, what's going on in your life?
Wow.
And I was like,
wow.
And she was like, you know, this area, these nerves, these are just very expressive. You know, some people it happens on their face. Somebody's, this is just an area that expresses your anxiety. You know what I mean?
In such a real way.
And we just sat there and discussed it, like you might do if, you know, with a really like hippie massage.
Sure,
you know, this
sure,
is
sure.
your father's pain right here in your shoulder and stuff like that. And it went away and it never came back. And it, that was
no.
the, it, it eventually went away. And she just said, if you ever feel that tingle again, just meditate, like journal.
You know.
God bless her.
That is crazy.
It is crazy. But the acupuncturist, you know, she, the second we sat down and she asked me the same question, and I was like, you know, I've been like fighting for my dad's life for the last 2 years and, you know, was in tears with her in under a minute, you know, like bawling, hysterics. And she said, this is what happens, you know. But did you feel, out of curiosity, like, oh, I have to, she's wrong, or like, this isn't enough medical attention for the situation?
No,
like,
because I had had so many New York doctors at in New York give me nothing. No
information. Not a salve?
No. I mean, you know, eventually corticosteroids and stuff like that, like injectable steroids.
Wow.
Wow. That's so nuts. And did you...
No pun intended.
Oh, hey, I walked right into that one. But that's just the fact that like she's just like, let's talk.
Yeah.
So what did you have going on that expressed itself like
Well, I guess that might lead into my thing.
Sure. Let's do it.
How do I start this? I'm going to give you an anecdote, a thing that happened to me in high school that... Here's what I'm going to say. I'm not really known for my sincerity, my empathy, my vulnerability, necessarily.
Well,
would you say we're that's true?
Well,
okay, but
yes
I don't...
and no. I mean, I wouldn't be like, oh, that's Steven. He's the most non-empathic person I've ever known.
Well, let's say in action, maybe, but not necessarily in my words. I'm not a big, like, I'm not coming to give you a hug all the time, right?
Yeah, but yeah, I don't, right, but well, you're not prickly. You're
sure.
lovely. You're, okay.
Two things sparked this thought in me recently, which was... something you said on a previous podcast, the one you did with Matt, when he interviewed you. And you said, I do this, but what I don't do is mean. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I don't, Matt asked me my biggest turnoff in a man, like what I was looking for. And I said, someone who's mean. I was like, I just don't do mean. And it's hard because we play horrible people.
Right.
I mean, you know, that's the tricky thing. It's part of like my sense of humor to play terrible people, but I don't deal with it in life well at all. Like I don't like mean people. And I don't.
Right. Yeah. You have an ability to be like vomiting out particular details and insults, but you come off so loving about it. Like everyone just loves you more the more you rip it to shreds. You know what I mean? They never take it to heart. Anyway.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Anyway, that instance and another time I was on a red carpet for GLAAD and the reporter, and we were all there, you know, human rights campaign and all that, and they said, tell us about, you know, when you were bullied. And I was like, oh, I literally was silent. I was like, I didn't have that experience whatsoever in high school. And anyway, my minor revelation here is when I realized that, and speaking of Heather's, that I was a mean girl in high school.
Wow.
I was not a focused on underprivileged gay kid. It was 1993. It was so popular to be gay at that time, that little brief period. I had like educated parents. We were just among the yokels of Central Florida, and I would just roam the halls like Claire Underwood and House of Cards,
sure.
just so confused why everything wasn't going my way.
But I was the same way. And that's why the thing that was so great in our reboot of Heather's is that it's a lot of queer kids that are assholes.
Yeah, I heard that's kind of the twist,
and that's
right?
And I think it's so smart because
it's
fresh. Not obviously saying that gay kids are bad, but it's saying that popularity corrupts.
Right.
And I was popular in high school, and it doesn't really make sense because Lincoln's in North Carolina, but I knew how to make people laugh.
Right.
And I was a smart kid, and I could be really mean. There were times that I was, because I didn't have any sort of you know, the adult hadn't caught up yet. So right. I was just thinking like, oh, I can make people laugh. And I didn't really have a filter at a thing where I had to go through that. I had to have people say that hurt my feelings. And I had to see that happen mm-hmm. before I was like, oh, wow, I have an ability to really hurt someone. So we all have that in us. And I see it a lot in our community.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm sorry, that's the bigger thing. But
well,
yeah,
the anecdote in particular that hopefully the entertaining part of this is that I was running for Mr. Deltona High, obviously, as one uh-huh. does, a talent
as
competition.
Do.
And at the time, I was president of a drama club.
Uh-huh.
And,
same here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, but
yeah, right.
drama club
yeah.
only has so many members. And the yeah. Mr. Deltona High is sponsored by the Juniorettes. So
Veronica, by the Junior
by
Mints?
The Juniorettes. Juniorettes.
Oh, what are the Juniorettes?
It's like the cool version of Key Club.
Okay.
You know,
okay,
it's a
cool.
social group, a girl social group. And Veronica Orsini came up to me in the cafeteria
oh
and she
God,
was like,
these names.
Mr. Garino, I'd like to sponsor you for Mr. Deltona High. And I said, of course, I accept. I go with the Juniorettes, I'm bound to win. And
I
then
accept.
And then I went back. I told everyone Juniorettes is sponsoring for Mr. Deltona High. And the drama teacher called me in, Miss Griffiths, and she said, you have to, Drama Club has to sponsor you. And in all seriousness, I said, then I'll lose. And she goes, well, that's the rules. And I said, absolutely not. I'm going with Juniorettes. I'll step down as the president of Drama Club, whatever it takes. Just Regina Georging my way throughout
Gosh,
this.
Yeah.
I love your eye on the prize, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Then she sends me to the principal's office to discuss it. And she explains to me social club rules, which is already an absurdity. It can't yeah. even be a possible thing.
Well,
nowadays.
You know, you might be needing an education at this
sure,
point.
Sure, right.
And instead, go to the principal to discuss this. But okay.
She also made me, I skipped school once to go to a SeaWorld commercial audition, and she did not allow me to go on that night for the play.
Oh, she sounds fun.
She's so
yeah,
fun.
I hate
yeah,
her.
Yeah. Oh,
so she
it's
says,
so much. She's so bitter. That's just the bitter bit.
You can just tell.
Yeah.
So SeaWorld audition.
She sends me back. She says I have to go, and it, or you know, it just has to be this way. So I go up to Veronica Orsini and I say, I have to go with the drama club, and she goes, well, I guess Jean-Claude wins. Jean-Claude was a French exchange student, very popular,
shit.
Sang End of the Road by Boys to Men.
Yep.
Yep, you know this.
93.
I was doing a monologue from like a, you know.
Monologue book.
Sure.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the competition happened and I came runner-up and Jean-Claude won. And I was so, I just think I learned a lesson that day that I immediately was like, oh, winning is not about a merit. Winning is about strategy and placement, right?
Yes.
And I'd also end up throwing a drama club party at my house that night where I decided I'd come out of my attic dressed as Frankenfurter and do this amazing final number.
Of course.
Of Rocky Horror.
Absolutely.
In like a Speedo pulled up in like my mother's blouse, which uh-huh. went terribly wrong and it didn't work.
Didn't.
And it went horrible and
wow.
I cried in my mother's minivan for like 3 hours and she
oh
couldn't find
God.
Me and everybody left the party and I refused to come out of the van until everybody was gone.
Oh, rough.
And I remember
wow.
I'm feeling that in my vagina.
Those, yes,
I just felt
those,
that.
It's so
it's
deep.
It's so painful because you swung and missed in a very yeah. hard way.
And
yes,
I really remember, it didn't occur
way.
To me now, 41 years later, I was like, I know I made a decision at that moment to never perform when everything wasn't aligned for success. I don't do random anything. I was like, I will be strategic in my ability to succeed and not necessarily give of myself or take risks. And the reason I'm bringing that up now is that that only lasts so long. And it has
yes.
It has served me as an actor. I think I work a lot because I thrive off competition. You,
mm-hmm.
you know me, I walk into a room of all my peers and I just come alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's partially a disgusting trait in me, but also a very useful
absolutely.
Skill.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now it's coming to a point where my relationships, my friendships are coming to a head and I am socially not vulnerable or
huh.
truthful or loving, you know? And I just think I'm
so
glad
wait.
I figured out the memory had a lot to do with
so
that.
So you circled back to that moment. You found the moment where
yeah.
the switch happened.
Right. And
where
I thought
you were
from
like,
then
all
on,
right, from now on, it's the walls are coming up.
Yep.
It's me versus the world. I'm going to win this. I mean, I know how to win now. Like
right.
I've learned how to win.
I mean, it seems like as somebody who like felt, I feel like I'm just getting some of that now. Learning how to win at anything right now, I would have loved a dose of that. You know, just a little, just a sprinkling of that, really and truly, in my 20s, you know, 30s. But how is that presenting itself now? Are you working on it or?
I mean, other than, you know, LA yoga and mindfulness, I am trying to figure out ways to change that because the world is changing and that thing I do is getting old. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so, I mean, I think it's so huge of you to like recognize that and see that. And I think that's just, again, like we're talking about like a rebirth and figuring it out. You don't have a reputation for being that way, but, you know, or being closed off and, you know, I mean, competitive, sure, because we are all up for jobs and for, you know, for this and that. But it's great to just acknowledge, like, I need to figure out it's really hard to know how open to be, how vulnerable and accessible to be. I feel like I've maybe made myself too accessible to people in a way that it's also not genuine. Uh-huh. Like, it's not like I'm just great to be able. I think with like social media and also being an improv teacher for 10 years and always kind of being there, I will sometimes check my email or check my Facebook inbox and just with so much resentment because I feel like everybody wants something from me and it's so not true. And it's like, who do I think I am? But I'm also like
the greeting line at your birthday alone.
Oh my God.
I gave up. It was 2 hours in.
And I hated everyone there. No. But you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's like, nobody does it perfectly, but it's like so hard because it's like, you know, friends that reach some sort of success at some point in their lives or early in their lives kind of immediately shut out a lot of stuff, whether they want to or not, because they have to or they just don't. And I feel like I spent my 20s and most of my 30s like running around tap dancing for anybody that would look at me. And I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. You know, and I was like, and it's, I feel so lucky that I get to have a lot of lunch dates and I know a lot of great people and I can consider a lot of people friends, but there are a lot of people that feel a lot closer to me than I feel to them, and that makes me feel really terrible in a way that I'm like, God, I wish I could either like be a better friend to you or just have a very clear line that we're actually not friends and that we, you know. And so, you know, but I do applaud, you know, the sense of feeling like, oh, I need to let more people in and I need to be more open and vulnerable. And I think about, for me, like in terms of like trying to put it out there to date, like just even letting people know that I'm available and open and interested, because I don't give off any sort of vibe. Cause like, you know, I don't give any sort of like sex vibe usually to people. And so I don't give that off to a lot of people. And I can be like, oh, I really like this guy. And then I'll have had friends go, really? Cause you don't seem like you do. And I'm like, really? Cause I think I do. I really do. And it's like, oh, just letting myself relax and be more open in that. Cause I'm such a one man show. I'm like, I'm taking care of number one. I know how to be an individual. I know how to be on my own. And it's like letting myself be open in that way. In a different way. Cause I feel like I can maybe put out the friend vibe too much, but I don't know. I mean, how is it like, working? Have you seen anything where you feel like, oh, I'm just trying to be more open, like within your own friendships or with like new people? Or
I would say that I suddenly looked at some of my friendships and I thought, well, these aren't necessarily friendships, they're sort of like acquaintances within the industry,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think I have a terribly glamorous life. That's not an issue. But I noticed that, you know, forget what's a great example. Do you remember like 6 years ago, I went to Palm Springs with you for New
Year's
Eve?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I was just terrible in the house. I was just, there was like 7-8 amazing gay comedians. And I just, do you remember I would just skip out and go to Starbucks? And I felt like I couldn't participate like a normal open person and just enjoy myself. I was so...
You also like to go and do more things too. We are zombies in that house. Like I you know,
you
I try to warn you, like,
you...
we're going to be in pajamas. We're going to be watching like 70s C-level Faye Dunaway movies from like 10 a.m. through midnight. We're
That's
not going to leave.
Well,
and
I
you were like, let's go to Starbucks. Let's go outside. Let's see something. And so...
But,
yes.
But what you're saying is that
I could be present for that.
Yes.
I'm restless and I immediately go to sort of like results oriented fun. Well, what does this fun get me?
Yes.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
Well, I think the exciting part of that What is that you may find, because it's interesting to what you're saying, like what you do is getting maybe old, right? Because there's a new world and there's a new way that, because you would say, do you play predominantly gay characters?
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So it's like, what does that look like in 2017 in the entertainment industry, right? How are gay people being portrayed? And the good news is that this revelation at this moment may actually just open up a whole world to you in terms of like a different avenues, you know, that you can explore because you're open to it right now.
And don't you think also as we get older, like the competition kind of melts away beautifully where you're just like, I want everybody to win. I mean, I feel like I didn't used to be that way. I haven't always been like, yeah, there's room for everybody. I think a lot of we feel like in the industry, but also just socially, like I used to think I would go into a party and if I'm not the belle of the ball, I have to leave. Right. You know, if I can't be the star of the party, I see that in a lot of my friends who are younger, who and I'm like, oh my God, I love sitting down at a party and like watching other people kind of take over. I kind of love not feeling that need to win. Or even just professionally when I'm like, what's meant to be ours, like whenever, I mean, like, God, you and I go out for so many of the same things. And whenever you get something, or like Sam Pancake or Tom Link or fill in the blank of just whoever, like it's the same people we see at every audition. Yeah. I'm like, well, good. It went to one of the good ones.
At least
of course,
I wanted it. Right?
Of course, I wanted the job. But I'm glad it's not like some rando or somebody that, you know, in my weird sense of justice hasn't earned it or whatever that means. But you know, I used to feel, you know, and I think there is that sense of like, we think there can be the one gay guy that can do, or I have to, what is going to be my stamp? What's going to be my thing that's going to, and it's like, I think part of the beauty in maybe in getting older and sort of figuring all this stuff out, it's kind of going, we all can exist. We all can win. There is no winning.
Right.
All at once.
Right, but I think when you're so attached to that fantasy of there's some sort of culmination of that winning, like, and then you realize it's certainly not fulfilling, or certainly and not even tangible.
Right,
that you sort of like, oh, this is it. This is life. This is my and often looks pedestrian. You know what I mean?
Right, and it's funny when I used to see like actors winning awards, and there's certain actors that would win awards, and they would be very all business, and they would want to thank blah 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 blah. Thank you very much, and they would leave, and I'm like, how dare they not take this moment? This is the biggest moment in their lives. And it's like, no, maybe they know more than I do in this moment when they're like, you know what? Thank you. That's very sweet. It's a lot of luck that this even happened and a lot of marketing, a lot of things that have nothing to do with my worth. And I can't make this a huge moment because tomorrow I'm not going to win an Oscar. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow I'm not going to win whatever I was just handed. And I have to be the same person tomorrow that I am today. And so there is like a wisdom to that that I didn't see. I remember I used to think like, I'm going to be handed some gold key and I'm going to be, and in my life, you know, and everyone that I've ever met is going to stand up and applaud me. And it's like, when you realize that that's just a crazy pipe dream and not real and not, doesn't really mean anything, you know? Yeah. I don't know. Right. I totally petered out. I'm like, and then I don't know. But I think it's like, I think it's really noble. And I think also it's like, it's hard to acknowledge like, oh, this is what I've been doing. Because I have explored a lot for me. Like, why am I single always?
Right.
Like, what is that about? Well, I don't put any energy towards like finding someone else. And part of that's like feels great and okay. Like, I feel totally good about that because I don't feel like I need to be in a relationship.
That's interesting because I almost always have a boyfriend because I will relegate all my vulnerability and emotion for that person and I don't divvy it out to my friends whatsoever in a bizarre way.
Yeah. Do you have a boyfriend now? I don't even know.
No.
Okay. I was just thinking, okay. Yeah. But I don't think there's a right answer to that. You know, I don't think there's a right way to be, but it's hard and it's a lot, you know, to acknowledge, you know, that we're like, oh, we are in our 40s and we still have a lot of work to do. And that can be exciting too, because it's like, good. I'm glad I don't know everything. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's like, it's a lot.
I'm just assuming that everyone socially feels like they're on the periphery, right? No one ever feels like they've arrived or they're in the thing, right?
I hope everybody feels a little bit, but I don't, the other thing too is like, we just feel a lot. We feel our feelings. And we're aware of a lot of things. So a lot of people are just not aware.
Right.
You know, they may not be terrible people, obviously, but they haven't really done a lot of work inside, or they haven't really had to explore it. Well, what we do for a living is that we excavate and have to
psychoanalysis. Yeah.
Oh, completely. And so it makes us neurotic messes, and it makes us feel like I'm never enough, or I just said the weirdest thing, and why did I just say that to so and so? And oh, they must think. You know, I think that most people don't acknowledge. Like just even Deanna, like if you walked in with something on your nose, I mean, I don't think I'd be like, oh my God, Deanna has, and you brought it up and mm-hmm. we could talk about it, but you walk around with like, I have something on my nose.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, we all walk around in our own thing of like, I just said something. And most people don't take it that deeply. But I also think it's kind of part of it's the uncomfortable reality of being a person, I think, is kind of important in a way. I don't know if that makes any sense. I think we should be comfortable being a little uncomfortable. Just
right. It's always there for most everybody.
Yeah.
You know? But it's interesting hearing both of you guys talk about. I think that when you're trying to do this, right, like be on TV or be in movies or have a podcast or whatever it is, you're dealing with everybody around you in a certain way because you're seeing what are they – you are in relation to the – 15 people, let's say, that we all have each. We mm-hmm. all have our group of like 15 mm-hmm. people who are either doing this or doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're basing like, okay, where am I in relation to these people?
Right.
And that's going to affect how your relationships are with those people, you know, right. And what you're able to, whether you're feeling like, oh, I'm going to come in and I'm going to slay the room. Or if you're feeling like, I got to sit back and let them go forward, which is something I've sort of felt like, mm-hmm. you know, I've felt like I have to go a different path, or I don't want to be in competition so deeply mm-hmm. that I'm going to fall so far back in terms of saying, I want this, which is what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Sure.
You know, and so it's all the same thing, just a different reaction. To it.
Oh, completely.
You know what I mean?
Completely. Yeah.
And I think that's what I've had to work on, you know, like doing my thing, going for what I want, taking time and investing in like my own self,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's been my challenge.
Yes.
So that's, you know, it's all a different version of the same thing.
Yeah. And I feel like I've gone back and forth. It's so interesting to put, I've never thought of it really that much, but I've been like, I remember like hearing like my the end of my senior year in college, my theater professor who I love dearly, Cindy Gendrick, would always, she took us to out for beer on our final, and she was telling us like, this is not a competitive business. It's just not. Sports is competitive. There's a score at the end of the game. Wall Street, there's a number. You either up mm-hmm. or down each day. This business is art, and there is no winner or loser, it's not competitive. And when people say, well, it's a competitive, it's just incorrect to look at it that way. And I probably took that a lot too much to heart in a way that I was like, I'm always just going to do my own thing. And I wasn't very strategic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't figure out ways to like, you know, even when I went through the Groundlings, I was just like, I'm just going to do my thing, which served me well in a lot of ways. And in a lot of ways, not at all, because I wasn't at all thinking like how to be. And I don't think that's good or bad. It's just it is perspective, because it's all happening. Mm-hmm. It's all there. And I think you just have to be like, OK, with how you've been in those moments.
Yeah.
And or acknowledge like, oh, I wasn't great in that moment. And that's fine too, because like nobody else is paying that much attention to me
right.
as I am or how I was, you know? And that should be comforting in a way that like it's like, okay. And we're all messes. So it's like we're all just trying to figure it out, you know? And I think it's but you know, you do have to acknowledge, you do have to sort of find that happy medium place, which is so hard, to going, I have this thing that I want. I'm always going to have a desire. It's always going to be there. Like I, you know, and I have to go about it in my own way, but also be like supportive of everyone around me and not feel like I have to Because we just have so little power in the thing, too. That's the other thing about it. Like, in athletics, like, you can train. You can get this body and, like, or, you know, or you can, you know, or, you know, in other fields, you can get more education and you can get better. And we have no, somebody could get off the bus from Paducah and come in and take a job from us today. Ugh. And there's nothing we can do about it.
Time.
It does.
Yeah.
And we have to just be okay with it and just being okay with all of it. Like being okay with not being where we are, being okay with like getting something and not being an asshole about it when you get it, you know? And it's just it's a daily struggle, and I think a daily check-in, because it's like, you know, I think we swing wildly from the
Raptors. And this is honor of Gay Pride Month, and I don't mean to ostracize you, Deanna, but God, do you ever just sit go and go,
nightmare
you
woman,
cisgender privilege, white privilege? That's a good drag name, cisgender privilege.
Oh, yes, please. Cisgender privilege.
But do you ever do this? Do you ever just, I'll literally out loud be like, oh, just thank God I'm gay, though. Like, my gay Tuesday is better than the regular world Saturday any day of the week.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Especially in Berlin.
Yes, and especially in Berlin. No, I do. I'm so thankful for that.
Working on logo, you're like, God, this is so much
better. Oh, thank God. And also, like, it just, you know, and just the people that we get to just to be around and the perspective and just the, like, I know. I mean, people were like, oh, being gay is not a choice. I'm like, it's not, but I can't imagine not choosing it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm so glad I get to be in that world.
Yeah.
You know, when I you know, I walk by sports bars and I'm like, thank God I don't have to go in there and get chicken wings.
We've already isolated all the best vacation towns, all the best neighborhoods. We've done all the work for us.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
It's too much world for you to explore.
I know.
So many things. It's great though. And well, you guys, we're over. We're out of time.
Oh.
We've just talked and processed and unpacked, which I love. What have we learned today?
Did we learn anything?
I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
I feel better today than I did when I walked in.
Me too.
So
I'm good. Good, good.
I'm excited for you, Stephen. I'm excited for this journey. I think dig into it. Uh-huh. Do you agree, Drew?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you guys know each other better.
No.
But
don't,
I do,
no,
like,
no,
stay where you are and please don't change a muscle.
Any tangible exercises? Like aromatherapy?
Well, I do think you probably should talk to a therapist.
Yeah, that's up.
Because you'll actually be able to, you know, you could talk to your friends or your whatever, boyfriend or whatever, but like, that is work for someone else to kind of move you through.
Got it.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're already starting. So that's like huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm excited for you as well, Deanna, because you've got like a huge thing ahead of you, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
We have a fun
I'm finally excited.
Together.
I haven't been because I haven't let myself be. Like the thoughts in my mind are, I'm like, well, we're going to get bombed or I'm going to get in a car accident. Like it's really because I think because I've had so much go
chaos.
On. I am.
Also, we've had so many disappointments along the way where things don't happen.
I mean, you
build it all up as like, this is the dream job.
Yeah. And I just have been so neutral.
Yes.
But like,
and
yesterday.
That's healthy. That's
it
healthy,
is.
Though.
I think it's okay. But I also think like, yesterday, I think I felt excited.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
And it's nothing more than that, you know.
Yeah,
but I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, going to be fun.
Yeah, me too. And yeah. So that's the takeaway. Be excited for what's next, everybody, because
right.
we have a lot of work to do and let's have fun doing it. How about that?
Agreed.
Like, Who can argue with that?
Well, I want to thank my guests, Stephen Guarino and Deanna Chang. Thank y'all for being here.
Oh,
thank you.
So much fun.
And everybody else, thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Drew Droege's Minor Revelations. Have a week.
Have a week.